from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Man, I feel bad for everyone who had tickets to these shows. That was tough. He did reschedule, though, right? I believe for like November, December, something like that. He doesn't sound like he has any idea.
I don't know about the reschedule, but I do know about the cancel.
That's right. A lot of disappointed fans out there. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. Chris Thomas with you for one final hour. Our buddy Dylan, Dylan Matthews, coming your way at the top of the hour. All right. So, a couple of things. First of all, if you missed it, Georgia Tech upsets. They were 10.5-point dogs against Florida State. They win 24-21 on a walk-off field goal. So awesome from them. I've been taking calls, and I will continue to in just a second here, from Georgia Tech fans. How you feeling? I mean, your season couldn't have gotten off to a better start. I would argue biggest win of Brent Key's career so far. He made that point earlier. And all things pointed up. Successful trip to Ireland. And I feel bad for our buddy Mike Bell, who sent in a picture of him not so much enjoying the loss for his Noles. But nevertheless, their loss, our gain. Party in the flats tonight, baby. Or on the flats, I should say. Come on, Turtle. And the other thing is that I was just going off on is the Braves. Because I heard on Fricky's show earlier from himself and the callers, so it's not just him, but this sentiment that everything that happens for the Atlanta Braves right now is gravy. No. What do you mean? You're in the third wild card spot right now. Cy Young Award winner on your team, NL MVP, top three finisher on your team. You have four deep in the rotation now that Schwellenbach has established himself. And you're in the division lead. You have four more games against Philly. So what are we punting on here? Make it make sense. All right, before we get to a five true and false on the Braves, let's get to Aaron in Decatur. He wants to ring in on the Jackets and the Braves. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, ACT, Thomas, Chris, you know your sports, man. You know, like, it was back in, I think, the early 90s when the Braves were in the West Division with the Dodgers. And they were, like, right at this time, they were more like 10 to 15 games behind the Dodgers. Now, only three or four people in this city that call sports talk. One guy named was Bo Bach, me, and a couple other guys. We said the Braves would catch the Dodgers. They did catch them. And they didn't win the World Series that year, but they caught them. And that's what I'm saying. People in this town, like when they were like 90, 80 games to play, they talking about they were out. All right, getting on Tech. Georgia Tech is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, bro. I had them losing the day. They will lose the game you think they will lose. And they will win the games you think they, you know, don't supposed to win. So that's it. And then I predicted 1 month before the NFL draft, the Falcons would try to resurrect the spirit of Michael Vick. We see that they did try to, they did that. So a lot of the sports hosts in this town, they're really talking out of their neck and out of both sides of their neck, man, and bumping their gum. They really don't know sports like you and some of the people in this town. Keep up the good work, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. The only problem with that, though, I mean, Michael Vick and Michael Penix are like completely different players. Michael Penix Jr. is a pocket quarterback. He can run. He has ran. But he's not Mike Vick. Come on now. I appreciate the kind words, but if you're going to come on the air and say the Falcons drafted Michael Penix because they want him to be Michael Vick, that's just not true. It can't be true. They're two different quarterbacks. Their playing styles literally couldn't be more different. Mike Vick, we know, was make magic happen. Make lemonade out of lemons. Make chicken salad out of chicken you know what. That was his strategy, playing quarterback, and he made it work for a long time. He was damn good at it. Michael Penix, he's like a surgeon with the ball, man. He's dropping dimes, and he's got a huge arm. Vick had a huge arm too, but Penix has a huge arm. So I appreciate the phone call, Aaron, but I just don't see that being the same thing. Now, maybe he can have just as big of an impact if they win a Super Bowl, but in terms of that electric, you know, get you off your feet in the stadium type of vibe, that's not Michael Penix. He's just not that guy. All right, without any further ado, because we pushed it back far enough already, let's get some Braves true or false questions in here.
It's time for 5 true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, Chris Taylor Thomas, I'm a little upset with you because with your last so eloquent, you know, segment, you kind of stole a couple of my questions here, man, but it's okay. I'm going to keep with them. I ain't got time to rewrite them, so we're going to go right down this list. So, you know, I got Aaron. He kind of gave us a little nostalgia because back in the 90s, we used to have a nickname around here, a couple nicknames. You may have heard these when you up north. We used to have a guy called Cymatix, a guy called Cy Smoltz,
sure,
and a guy called Cy Glavin.
Mm.
And I think, true or false, we should have a new guy named Cy Sale.
Yeah, true. He's been the best pitcher in the league almost the entire way. Like, he's really just been absolutely
since start number one.
Amazing.
Double-digit strikeout. Last night was his lowest strikeout of the night and he got 4 or 5.
Yeah. So, and that goes back to my argument, when you have him, you have Ozuna, who's going to be a top three MVP candidate in the National League, you're not punting on anything. And you're in the mix. So, yeah, Sale's going to win the Cy Young, and the Braves are going to make the playoffs. And you better believe that.
Cy Sale coming into a town near you. All right, going to roll along in this week's edition of Braves True or False. So 34 games left. Back to that magic number of 10 games above 500. That's pretty much where they live. Our latest projection has us getting to 92 wins. That's 23 out of the last 34. 23-11. Pretty much 2 out of every 3. Do you agree with that assessment? Oh, can they get to 92 wins? 23 more. 23-11 out of these last 34 games.
Man, that's a lot, bro. Wow.
We've got some
I'm glad that the projections are that optimistic.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know why that is? We have some really easy series. We got 2 tough series left. We got the Philly.
Yep.
And the Dodgers, both of them 4 game sets. We got a whole bunch of games against the Marlins still. We got another series against the Nationals still. We got another series against the Mets still. Okay.
But would you not argue that the Braves have played down to their competition this year?
That's not an argument. That's a fact. How them young folks say it? That's facts.
Yeah.
That's facts.
So I'm almost not as excited about that as I should be. You know what? False, but they're going to finish strong. That's just, 23-11. Have they done that all year? I don't think so.
90 maybe? If you that would make it 18-14.
That's yeah. We could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll settle there. How about
right.
that?
All right, 90. That's a decent number. We always expected.
Especially considering
what we've had. Okay. All right, we're going to come back to that. Looking for 90. All right, next one. Braves, true or false? So, definitely not the player he once was. Definitely not even the player he ever wanted to be, but would give this town a little bit of a shot in the arm. Should the Braves consider signing Jason Hayward?
No. You know why?
Tell
false. Because then you're going to have to play him. And you can't really play him right now.
Come on, man. Local kid. Local kids around here.
Yeah, of course. It's a nostalgia. But, like, we had to DFA Rosario. That sucks, man. That's a postseason hero that we had to, like, just show the door.
They got here for 2 weeks and did nothing.
Sorry, bro. Yeah. I don't want to have to do that with him, too. He's just a shot player, but it's fine.
But you could bring him in for September when you get the added guys to the roster. No one says he has to make the playoff roster or whatever. He could just be your ceremonial guy. He could be your cheerleader.
I've had enough of the nostalgia from this year, man. I'm good on it. With Hayward, Luke, Eddie, Solaire, that's just too much. That's too much for one season.
All right. Okay. No Jason. Chris says no Jason Hayward. Come back to town. Get you a ticket like everybody else. Sit up in the box. Sit up in the box with Chipper and whoever else is up there.
Well, Bo Johnson can hook him up, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sure he can. All right. Next one on Braves, true or false. So Money Mike's back. They put him back in the top of the lineup at leadoff, which a lot of people didn't think that's where he needed to go. So true or false, Money Mike should stay in the leadoff spot for the rest of the year.
I have a question for you.
Please.
Who is batting leadoff if it's not him?
Well, I mean, you've had a rotating door at leadoff. Solaire could do it. Clinic could do it.
Well, no, they can't, because if they could, they'd still be doing it.
They've had their chances. And they've done decent at times. You know, you can't just...
That, you are taking changing. That rubber band and you are stretching it all the way out.
So it's Mike's job.
He's the only one that makes sense right now.
Okay.
You trust Solaire to bat leadoff right now? Coming off the injury?
Yeah. I'd trust him if I had to, yeah.
And he has made so many mistakes in the outfield.
We ain't talking about his defense, sir. We're talking about getting on base, setting the scene, setting the table. We're not talking about his defense.
But you got to.
That's why we can sign. Because the one thing Say Hey Kid is going to bring with him is his glove and his arm.
Well, right. But you have, like, I have enough of that already. I have a bunch of outfielders who can catch the ball but can't hit. I don't need more of that.
One that can hit and can't catch the ball.
Exactly. What the problem is, you have an MVP candidate at the
who
position
can
that
hit
he
and can't catch the ball. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish up here.
All right. So last time we did this, we kind of jinxed our guys, and I thought about whether or not we should do it again because I got to correct you, sir. The Braves are not 6 games back.
Yeah, I was told. There's five.
There are five games. Remember when we did that? That was 2 weeks ago.
Hold up the five.
Put up the five.
Yeah.
How many fingers, Turtle? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five games back. With 4 games left to play.
Head to head. Can they do it? Can we get the banner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
We can. Will we? But can we? Absolutely.
That's what my whole rant has been about.
Like, I know. I told you. You stole my thunder.
Yeah, it's right.
Your rant was not on the lineup, sir. I started to cut your mic off. I'm like, hey, man, you're taking my.
Of course they can. Yes. They got 30-something games left. 4 head-to-head with a 5-game separation right now. Of course.
Let's go, Royals.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. I think they play the Twins after that or somebody, but let's go.
They do.
AL Central.
Royals are good, man.
Oh, yeah. The Royals are the surprise team of. And you know what I'm saying? They got Houston coming up, too, which another surprise
team. And they came back out of nowhere.
Yeah,
they
another surprise team.
Seattle fired their damn manager.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, good job, E. Coming up next, we'll continue the Braves conversation with the voice of the team. Brandon Gaudin's going to join us next ahead of the matchup versus Washington tonight. What does he think about all this? Am I going to ask him about that? Nah. I got 5 minutes to think about it. I'll let you know when I get back.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until the top of the hour. Our boy Dylon Matthews is in the house. He'll be taking you until Atlanta United pregame. That's right. Atlanta United is back in action tonight. And we'll see if they can get the latter stretch of their season rip-roaring and ready to go. Not entirely sure. We'll see if their new addition, Maranchuk, can play or what his situation is. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore will have you updated on all of that. We are awaiting our buddy Brandon Godden, the play-by-play voice of your Atlanta Braves. He will join me in just a second to talk all things Braves and see if he agrees with me. Because I've been saying this team needs to be thinking about not just playoffs, but I mean like a serious run. Why not? Again, if you missed it, I was listening to Fricky's show, and he and a lot of the people who called in were basically saying, "All right, like it's all gravy. It's all up for grabs right now. It's all a situation that makes it. How do I put this politely? All right in front of you. I don't want to put it politely." Listen, you're a team right now that is right in the thick of everything. On what planet should you be saying, we're good. It's gravy. Whatever happens, happens. How can you think that way? What team in the NL, like, is making you rattle in your boots? Is it the Dodgers? I mean, okay. Is it the Padres? They're red hot with the Diamondbacks, but do you really feel like those teams are significantly better than the Braves? I do not. I really don't. So with the combination of that plus Chris Sale, Lopez, Fried, Schwellenbach, Iglesias is having an all-star year, I don't know. I mean, I guess it is... I guess it's all up to the personal perspective of how you view it. Are you that beaten down by, you know, all the injuries this year? I suppose you could be. I suppose you could put yourself in a position where you say, listen, no Acuna, no Strider. Harris was out. That's funny. Ozzie Albies is out. I guess you could put yourself in that position and say, you know what? Maybe it's not white flag waving, but it's you know, like Fricky was saying, it's allowing yourself to just sort of sit back on the recliner and enjoy whatever happens. I'm not in that camp. I can't be in that camp. How could you be in that camp? My sports fan brain does not allow me to think that way when the team has everything that it has sitting right in front of it with four games left against Philadelphia. Four. And a five-game difference. How could you not be in that position? I just don't get it. All right, let's see if our next guest agrees. We'll ask him that and everything else about the Braves. You hear him every single day with our buddy CJ Nitkowski. Brandon Gaudin with me ahead of tonight's action against Washington. Brandon, really appreciate the time on a Saturday.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. Looking down over Truist Park here from the booth and hoping the Braves can keep this thing rolling.
Well, last night's game was so interesting, right? Because it's sort of been a final representation of maybe the ball rolling our way a little bit, because you get that win on the uncharacteristic fashion, and now you're sitting there looking and say, okay, five games with the Phillies, five games back, four left to play. Anything can happen, Brandon.
Yeah, I think you're kind of tracking in both directions, right? So you're inching closer to the Phillies saying, wow, is that a possibility? But even if it's not, you're looking behind you at the Mets and trying to separate there. And now the Braves with a 2.5-game cushion over the Mets. So look, the bottom line is that through the month of September, there's going to be twists and turns. The Braves are probably going to have a stretch where they lose a few in a row and everybody panics. And they're probably going to have a stretch where they win five or six in a row and everybody thinks it's a World Series contender. I just hope that when the dust settles at the end of September after that Kansas City series, that whether it's as NL East champs or a wild card, the Braves are in the playoffs, because I do think with that pitching and how it lines up for Atlanta, they can beat anybody in any series.
Right now, who's your number four starter, Morton or Schwellenbach?
I think probably Schwellenbach. Now, Charlie Morton has had two really good starts the last two times out, and he'll pitch again tonight. If Charlie can regain his form, then I think you've got a decision to make. But if you're going purely off of the results over the last 2 months, my guess is they would lean Spencer Schwellenbach. But either way, I think you're in a good spot, and you can use one or both of those guys out of the bullpen if needed. But those top three guys, which is where the focus will be, that's as good as any top three in baseball. I don't care who you line up against, no matter who you see in the postseason. I like the Braves' chances simply because of those arms.
Talking with the voice of the Braves, Brandon Gaudin here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you check out all the coverage on Bally's tonight against the Nats. All right, Brandon, has Soler made one too many gaffes in the outfield for you to feel comfortable with him as your everyday right fielder, or is that just where he's going to be?
I think last night had more to do with his hamstring not being healthy. I think if that was 10 days ago, he gets to that ball and makes the catch. I think what happened last night was him thinking that his hamstring was ready, and then he starts to try to unload it 100%, and he realizes, oh, no, it's not there. He's not in the lineup tonight. Haven't heard the thoughts of Brian Snitker yet. I'm getting ready to go down there and try to get an update on it. But my suspicion is that him being out of the lineup tonight is due to that hamstring not being ready. And so if you use him in a pinch-hit role, you're okay with that, because you're hoping when he comes up there that he can do something where he doesn't need to do a lot of running in a ninth or tenth inning situation. But he bottom line is he needs to get that hamstring fully healthy before he is put out onto the field, and I think the Braves recognize that.
Is the best spot in the lineup for Michael Harris 9 or 1?
Right now I would go 1 until Soler is fully back and healthy. And if you get Soler back and fully healthy, I like some combination of Soler and Harris 1-2, and if until you get Riley back. Now, we don't know if that's going to happen before the end of the season. If it does, it'll be right at the end of the season or sometime during the postseason. But taking into account that Riley is out, I like some combination of a healthy Soler and a Michael Harris hitting 1-2. The combination and the order maybe depends on whether you have a righty or lefty on the mound. But the bottom line is I think either one of those guys stacked at the top, that just gives you – you go from those two to Ozuna to Olsen. That's a pretty daunting top four for any pitcher to have to go against.
You just mentioned Snit, and I think it's so funny, Brandon, because he is – the most stoic of managers I've ever seen in my entire life. But over the last couple of weeks, he hasn't cracked the door open fully, and there's no, I don't think there's a Brian Snicker tirade in there, but he has certainly showcased some frustration. Is that something you've been able to tell?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there was a stretch a few weeks ago where the Braves were just really struggling and honestly making some uncharacteristic mistakes. Fielding errors, bad base running, and he had had enough. And I don't know that there was a moment in the clubhouse where he exploded or yelled at the guys. I don't have any intel like that. But what I do know is that he was visibly frustrated and that he was very short with reporters after some of those games, simply saying, yeah, we've got to be better. We're not playing very well right now. And I know that some fans wanted to see that. Look, if you want full-on fire and brimstone, that's not him. That's not who he's ever been. But he's a competitor. You can guarantee that. And he wants to win just as much as anybody in that clubhouse. And I think we started to see that competitor in him come out when the Braves were struggling a couple of weeks ago.
You've seen every swing of Matt Olson this season. What have you deduced to be the biggest thing or two, either from a mechanical or a mental perspective, that has prevented him from repeating what he did last year?
For whatever reason, the fastball, especially high fastballs, have given Matt trouble this year. And a few weeks ago, he caught up to a few of them, and he started to hit a couple of homers and line drives, and you thought that he was getting into a groove. I still hold out hope because ultimately you look at his entire body of work in Major League Baseball, last year being the pinnacle. It's a really good hitter. So I hold out hope that as the Braves go down the stretch here, he will continue to figure it out. One thing I would say to watch that we've talked a lot about on the broadcast, when you see him hitting fastballs to all parts of the field, not just pulling them, but sending them out to left center, to straightaway center, sometimes even down the left field line, when he is on that swing plane, is on where it's supposed to be, that's when he is going at his best. So if you see him start to lace a couple of balls to the gap in left center, hit a ball to straightaway center field that is well struck, especially if it's on a 95, 96 mile per hour fastball, that's a really good sign that Matt Olson's starting to get locked in.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Rossell Iglesias. Not only has he been historically dominant over the last couple of weeks, if not months, but he's now showcasing an upper 90s fastball, Brandon, that I quite frankly haven't seen much from him.
It's unbelievable what he's done. That stretch that ended last night when he hit a batter, he had retired 38 in a row. For any pitcher, that is ridiculous. For a closer, it's even more ridiculous. And no Brave had ever set that many down in the modern era since 1961. It set that many batters down in a row. So he's kind of in uncharted waters right now. That fastball, yeah, I mean, the velocity is there. It's as good as it's been in his career. And let's just hope the Braves can keep riding that wave, because right now you get in a tight game late, and the Braves have been in a lot of them, and he comes in, you just kind of feel like, oh, okay, Rysel's got this. And that's a really good feeling when you have that lockdown closer.
When you have the bullpen that the Braves have, it's kind of been a little bit – well, not kind of. It has been up and down for a large majority of the season. Not so much the back end, but the guys that get the ball to those guys. Who do you think the team trusts most as the middle inning relievers right now to set up Jimenez and Iglesias?
Well, I think Johnson Pierce Johnson is obviously a guy that they count on. Now, A.J. Minter, that's a big loss and one that will probably be talked about more as we go along in September. But A.J. Minter was one of those guys. You kind of had A.J., Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez is your top three to try to bridge that gap to Rysel Iglesias. Now, look, here's the other thing that we need to consider. If the Braves can stay on this five-man rotation right now, that they've gone to over the last week, which they plan to do, by the way, then that frees up Grant Holmes to go into the bullpen. And you can use Grant in a number of different ways. You can use him as a long reliever, yes, but if you've taxed Pierce Johnson and Joe Jimenez two games in a row and they're down, you can turn to Grant Holmes in a high leverage situation. So Brian Snicker feels very comfortable with him. So I think he's kind of a guy that can be an X factor here over the last month of the regular season.
Before I let you go, Brandon, I know you are locked into the football world as well. We got a big win here at home today. What did you make of what Georgia Tech had to say to Florida State?
Pretty impressive, and I'll tell you what maybe I was most impressed with is how Nick Saban was praising the Jackets. Now, look, I know he's got the tie-in with Coach Key and everything, and they've worked together, so he's a little biased, but hearing a guy like Nick Saban be so bullish on what he saw after watching Georgia Tech's practices, I think that should get Jacket fans pretty excited. Obviously, the win today gets you ultra excited, but when Nick Saban kind of endorses what's going on there on the flats, that's a pretty big endorsement.
All right, Brandon, appreciate the time as always. Have a great call. We'll be listening and watching as always.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is the voice of your Atlanta Braves, Brandon Gaudin, right there on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris Thomas with you for another 20 minutes or so. We'll chat with our buddy Dylan, Dylan Matthews, coming up next. See what he has for the program. Don't go anywhere. Back with you in five. Chris Thomas with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It's Saturday night here in the A and the great state of Georgia. Your boy Turtle's going out tonight. How about that? A rare Saturday night out, because usually I get done with these shows, and lately I've been doing Falcons games on a couple of Fridays, so I've been pooped, but not tonight. We are doing a themed party with the lady friend. Her best friend, is it's her birthday, and she happens to be a fan of the 90s anime cartoon Sailor Moon. So if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't, but you can Google it, just not while you're driving. The one good thing is that there's not a lot of clothing on the Sailor Moon outfits, to put it frankly, so should be a fun time. And anytime that and alcohol gets mixed, you never know what's going to happen. So root for your boy tonight, root for the home team, and we'll see what happens. To end where we began is in a frustrating place, because all the momentum for the Atlanta Falcons is up, 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 up. Positive, positive, positive. Last night, though, sort of led to, for me at least, it was, I can't speak for Fricky. I would have loved to have asked him, but we ran out of time at the end of his show. Did he anticipate such a large and passion-filled reaction about not playing the starters? I kind of thought, I guess incorrectly, as Falcons Nation, that we were all cool with the plan. And the plan was nobody's going to play, especially after the injuries to Trice, Helms, and Moore. So I just kind of thought that's like where we all were as a collective fan base, media, and everything. Man, was I wrong. And I was fascinated by that. So instead of getting to the Braves topic that we were just on for the last hour or so, I pushed that back and I continued the conversation that Fricky was having, because I just found the reaction fascinating. Like, are you really worried about the ones? I'm not worried at all. Like, not even in the slightest about the offensive line, which has as much continuity as any line in football. About Kirk Cousins as a 15-year pro, about Drake, Bijan, and Kyle, who they know how to play football at this point. I'm not worried about that. Like, it's people have said, oh, the Falcons, they got a lot of young pieces, but not as starters. Their starting unit, is there a rookie? E, go through this exercise with me real quick. Because on offense, I think it's automatically no, right? Kirk Cousins, no. None of the five starting offensive linemen, not Bijan, not Pitts, not Drake, not Mooney, and not, nobody. So nobody on the offense is a rookie. And the defense, Hughes, no. AJ, no. Two safeties, no. All the linebackers, no. Bertrand isn't starting. He's a rotational guy. There would have been a chance, had they not signed Judon and Trice stayed healthy, that he could have started. But no, I guess the Falcons are, they're not starting any rookies. None of the special teams players are rookies either. So people say this is a young team, but not really. I mean, if none of your starters...
We were much younger a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Right now, if none of your starting players on either side of the ball are rookies, then...
You got 2, 3, 4 guys that would be second-year players possibly.
Bijan.
Bergeron.
Helms when he gets back.
No, well, I'm counting Clark Phillips.
Okay.
And
Troy. Well, do we count Troy Anderson? He kind of missed his sophomore year.
So yeah, he would be a second year guy. And then do we know who's our? Well, see, that's right. Before Jujon got here, I was counting on the big defensive end from Ohio State, and his name's
Zach Harris.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. But now he's kind of relegated too. That's what I'm saying. Like, people are like, what are we I just don't understand what we're worried about here, except for Michael Penix. That's where I disagree with everybody else, including Carl, and I argued about this with him all day yesterday. I think Michael Penix needed more reps. There's just a chance he's going to need to play, and if he needs to play, 15 throws and 25 total reps are not enough for me to say, all right, kid, go in there and go get him. Every game is important. You can't throw away a game. And you're risking him not being as ready as he could be by not playing him in the second and third game. That's all I'm saying. All right, 404-726-0929. The cat dragged in a good friend, a guy that I will be spending many a late evening with and have already during this Atlanta Falcons season, the executive producer of the home side, I will call it, of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, because we can't disrespect Squidbilly, because he is the...
He's the entire executive producer.
He's the executive producer of the whole shebang.
The whole thing.
And you executive produce from the studio here. Last night was a little rough, man.
Woo! Yeah, last night was very rough. It was a tough pill to swallow, a tough game to watch. I wouldn't blame anybody if they turned it off probably after the first 2 or 3 drives. But at the end of the day, there's nothing to worry about. There's not even much to take away from last night's game because the Jaguars played their starters. You didn't. The Jaguar starters did what they were supposed to do against your second, third, and I don't even think it was really your second team out there, your third and fourth string guys who were fighting to be on the roster, fighting to make the practice squad. So I'm not worried about what happened last night, but to your point, it was very tough to watch.
31 zip, man. It was just...
Ugh.
Taylor Heinicke and John Paddock combined for 84 yards between them.
Man, that was something.
The Falcons had 150 yards total.
And they got, what, 8 first downs? I think it was 8 first downs compared to the Jaguars' 30.
They've had it now, because it's not the first team, I can't call it alarming.
Yeah.
Because it's just not going to matter in 2 weeks.
Right.
But I guess for the backups, they have an alarming first down problem this preseason.
They really have. And, I mean, you would like to obviously see them be able to do more, but... Again, it's not like you even had guys like Ray McLeod, or obviously Rondell Moore's not out there because of the injury, but, you know, guys like Casey Washington and Chris Blair, they were okay at times, but you would like to see them do a little bit more because you figure at least one of those guys is going to be a part of this wide receiver room, if maybe not both. Probably not enough room for both, but still, you would like to see the ball move a little bit better, and trust me, I get it. I know Zach Robinson isn't showing a whole lot. It's very vanilla, just like the entire preseason is.
No. He's showing nothing. Nothing.
That's true.
I think, according to Mike Johnson, they've run 2 running plays the entire preseason.
That's what the preseason is, man. And it is a little bit disappointing, I would like to call it, that Raheem Morris doesn't value the preseason like maybe other coaches do, like maybe a Doug Peterson does, who played his starters for, what, almost an entire half?
Yeah.
Because it would have been nice to see Kirk Cousins out there. To your point, what you were just talking about, it would have been nice to see Michael Penix be out there a little bit more. And I honestly agree with you as far as Michael Penix should have at least gotten one more game out there. He should have been able to play one more half of football just to get all the reps that he could have possibly gotten. Because, to your point, Nothing is guaranteed in the NFL. You never know what's going to happen. Look at the Jets last year. They thought Aaron Rodgers was going to come in and be available the whole season, and he goes out for, what, eight plays or however many it was? He was out the first four plays.
Four.
Half of that. So, again, you never know what's going to happen, so you want your guys to be ready. They had an opportunity to get Michael Penix ready, but look, they know more football than me. I'm just the talking head here, so I'll trust their judgment until we get proven otherwise.
How do you feel about theme parties?
I like them. They're fun. Look, a good party, if you have the right people there, you don't need a theme. But I can't knock theme parties because they can enhance a party and they do create conversation. I'll say this about theme parties. If you are getting together a group that maybe has a lot of people who don't know each other, there are not a lot of mutual friends there, then I think a theme party is a good thing. It'll help break the ice. It will, again, create conversation. It'll cause some laughs and maybe some friendships that last forever, Turtle. You never know.
Wow, that's a very optimistic look at it right there.
I'm saying I like theme parties. They'd be cool. Actually, I went to New Orleans a couple of years ago, and it wasn't – we were already all together, obviously, but we had a theme party at the Airbnb we stayed in. So it was fun. I like theme parties. Okay. I guess you're not as high on them?
No, I'm going to one tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
I just got to – get myself there mentally.
Okay, what do you mind telling? What's the thing?
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's the woman I'm seeing right now, her best friend's birthday.
Okay.
And she has some kind of childhood obsession with the TV show Sailor Moon.
Never seen it.
You never heard of it. God, nope. You, Eric, hadn't seen it either.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Man.
It's not ringing a single bell, Turtle. I'm sorry. Sailor Moon?
Yeah.
It sounds like an anime. Is that an anime?
Yeah, it is.
It's given anime.
But it was like mainstream anime.
Okay. It's like One Piece? That mainstream?
I would say more mainstream.
More mainstream than One Piece?
Yeah.
More mainstream than like Naruto?
Yeah. It was like 90s, like Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon. Okay. Like it was.
I have no idea what none of that stuff Dylan just said. Not until you just said Pokemon would you have got me on
it. Was right.
You don't know what Dragon Ball Z is? You don't know what Dragon Ball Z is?
Come on,
E. That's crazy.
Sounds
slaughter.
Like a lottery ticket or slot machine.
That's crazy slaughter. That's crazy. Sorry. You never heard of Dragon Ball Z?
That is crazy.
That's absolutely wild.
But Google. it was popular at the same time as all that.
Got you.
But it was obviously more geared towards women.
You're right.
And teenagers. But
I got you.
So they have all these little outfits that they wear. So that should be fun.
So, do you have your outfit together?
I am not wearing an outfit, but I have a surprise present for both the girlie and her friend.
Okay, to make up for not wearing
an outfit. There really wasn't.
They better be good presents,
they're
Turtle.
They're good presents.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you this. I gotta ask you this. Do they know you're not wearing an outfit?
I'm pretty sure.
She knew who she was getting.
But the presents are theme related. That's fine, but man, it's
like,
gonna be.
Because there really wasn't. Right. There also really wasn't anything for me to.
Okay, all right, Turtle. You've been talking about this young lady for about a month now. We have not learned her name. Can we learn her name?
Yeah, it's Kiara.
Kiara, if you are listening, our dear friend, we hope to meet you someday. You gotta help our boy out. When you invited him to this party, I know this is one of the things, Kiara, you should just say, hey, don't worry, I'll pick up the outfit for you.
Maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe she has something.
Did you ask Kiara for maybe some suggestions on what you could wear?
No, suggestions.
No.
Kiara.
You didn't ask her for no suggestions? Nah, Turtle, you might be in some trouble,
but
bro.
I'm not even going to lie.
They got to go straight to the Kiara's dressing him face.
You might be heading into trouble. Because let me say this. One, in my humble opinion, you should have at least, if you knew you were having trouble coming up with an outfit, you should have at least, one, be like, hey, I'm having a little trouble coming up with an outfit. Do you have any possible suggestions for me? So you can at least, I'm not saying you're not, because the gifts, you're making an effort. Mm-hmm. But that extra step would have shown you were really making an effort.
He's going to be fine. Kiara's going to be a very astute young lady, and she's going to learn from this lesson that when I invite him anywhere, I got to dress my man. That's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm an old man, fellas. There's a lot of ladies out here that know when they invite their husband or their boyfriend somewhere, I got to pick out my outfit. and then I got to pick out his. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
Okay. Do you? I'm assuming because you don't seem worried, so I'm not going to be worried for you.
No, I'm not worried.
So you think she's going to react fine to you not wearing an outfit because you feel like she pretty much already has got the gist that you're not going to wear one?
Yeah. I mean, and if she is upset, I got nothing for you, man. They're just really, there really wasn't anything for me. On short notice.
I learned about this
less than a week ago.
Okay.
So I would have had to get Amazon.
Not short notice. Amazon gets it here in a day and a half, bro. Not short notice.
All right.
Kiara? Well, Kyra, how do you say it? Dress the man. Just dress the man.
All right. Well, in 30 seconds or less, now that that's over with, what are we hearing from you, sir?
I have a couple of questions for the people out there. Well, one, we got to get the people's reactions to Georgia Tech's big win over Florida State. And I'm glad you actually brought up the Falcons preseason because that is going to be a part of my show as well. I want to flush out what happened last night, and I want to get the people back excited, get that sour taste out of last night out of their mouth, and talk about the football that's coming up that does matter. The Falcons, we always talk about how the seasons are broken up into quarters, right? And the Falcons have a very tough first quarter.
They do.
The Falcons need to go what? In the first quarter. The Falcons need to go blank in the first quarter. I'm going to have the people fill in the blank with a record.
But Dylan.
And we'll chop it up.
Tell him, it's the first quarter, four games or five games?
Four games.
Okay, because technically, you know, that 17 threw off the
math. Yeah, I know it did throw off the math, but I'm still going to do it four games.
4-0. All right, that's coming up next. Dylan Matthews in the hometown take, frivolity and more up until 9:30.
That is correct.
9:30 pregame for Atlanta United comes your way. They are back in action tonight. Thanks to E. Thanks to all my guests. You've been listening to The Other Side of the Glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Pray for me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.